You're listening to The Point. We are talking with Rebecca Eaton, Masterpiece executive producer. Downton Abbey gets season four underway this weekend in the United States. That whole scene with, you know, Matthew dying, this is where we pick up season four this year. And Mary's struggling with this. And we'll start with a clip here of Mary in mourning.
How is the luncheon for the tenant farmers coming along?
Well, I think.
Tom?
They've all accepted except for Barnes at Wheeler's Wood. He's sworn to his sister's wedding.
I think we can forgive him.
Do you know, I have a terrible feeling I've double booked. It's this Saturday, isn't it?
Don't worry. We're not having the wives. Edith can preside.
I can't, I'm afraid. I'm going up to London.
Mary, then?
Me?
Well, if George is owner of half the estate now, shouldn't you represent him?
Well,
I don't want to bother Mary.
They'd like to see you.
I'm sure they would, but...
After all, you'll have to run it if anything happens to Robert. Until George is of age, or longer.
Oh, for heaven's sake, why does everyone keep nagging and nagging? My husband is dead. Can't you understand what that means? After all he's suffered in the war, he's killed in a stupid car crash. Matthew is dead 50 years before his time. Isn't that enough for me to deal with? Just leave me alone.
Exactly what I was afraid of. She is living a nightmare, and we must all step back and allow her to come through it in her own time. Aren't I right, Mama?
No. We can't discuss it now. This mousse is delicious, Carson. Is it the work of Mrs. Patmore?
I suppose she hasn't bought it in.
I don't think so, your ladyship, no.
Then you must be sure to send her our compliments.
Oh, Maggie, can you imagine anyone else playing that part?
Well, you're doing this for radio, and I have to fill in a few blanks.
Sure.
The crash was Mary flinging down her napkin and leaving the dining room. And then there's the family returning to decorum. You know, mm-hmm. We can't discuss it now. Let's talk about the food. It's delicious.
Yeah, right.
Mama, she says, no. Can we discuss it? No. So, yes, that's a very good scene. Michelle, who plays Mary, is, you know, just, she could barely make it to the table, you know. It's 6 months later. This is 1922. Matthew has been dead for 6 months, and their decisions need to be made about the estate. And George is, of course, the baby. By the way, he was born before the royal Prince George in England, and Julian was prescient about that. He named baby George, and she is deeply grieving, mm-hmm. and it comes out in irritation and sadness, and then it's the whole community pulls her back into life. It's really quite a beautiful episode.
And how about Edith there? I'm sorry, I can't. I'll be in London. I mean, Edith sort of, she's really finding her own way, isn't
she? Yeah, there's a lot happening in London for Edith.
Exactly.
Not just the clothes. Yes, Edith has a really interesting storyline here because, you know, she's kind of coming out from under, and her choices have been so limited because her sister is the first, Mary is the eldest, and then Sybil. So Edith was the middle child, and it was never clear what Edith would do. In some ways, it turns out to be a break for her because women's rights and, you know, not just voting rights, but social rights are beginning mm-hmm. to come into evidence. So Edith has the most chance to take advantage of them.
Yeah. All right. So the great Maggie Smith played Lord Scransom's mother, and it was a lot of fun last season to watch the interaction between her character and Cora's mother, played by Shirley MacLaine. Will we see more of that this season?
Yes.
Oh,
Shirley MacLaine is coming back, who plays Cora's mother. She comes back for one episode, and Paul Giamatti, mm-hmm. the great American actor,
great.
Paul Giamatti, comes as Cora's brother, who's kind of her kind of ne'er-do-well brother, Shirley MacLaine's son. So they arrive for a visit in Series 4, and the two of them always, I mean, I love watching Shirley MacLaine do anything,
oh,
and
great.
Paul Giamatti can be almost anybody in my book. So, yeah.
That's going to be great. Great season. I just can only imagine the actors that want parts on this show. You must get inundated with, please make me part of the show.
Yeah. Some very big names, and I cannot repeat who they are.
Yeah.
Just their agents call up and say, any chance, you know, so-and-so would love to.
Yeah.
But it's not that kind of show.
Right.
I think Julian is he's very careful to keep it believable.
Mm-hmm.
And any time you have an actor who is too recognizable, it distracts from the imaginary world of Downton. I mean, Maggie, we all, of course, knew Maggie beforehand, but we now, I think, believe that she really is the Dowager Duchess.
Oh, yes.
So if you have, you know, George Clooney arrive as a suitor for Mary, I don't think anybody would hear a word anybody else said,
right,
or just be looking at George Clooney being George Clooney.
And, of course, Maggie she has great lines, and, of course, she delivers them brilliantly. And this, we do get to see this sort of softer side of her. I've got another clip. As Mary is struggling with her grief, we see this tender side of Maggie Smith's character.
Yes.
I'm leaving. I didn't want to run off without saying goodnight.
I suppose you think I behave very badly down there.
My dear, I'm not really very interested in whether you behaved badly or well.
No?
No. I'm not your governess. I'm your grandmother.
And the difference is?
The difference is, I love you.
Of course you do. I'm sorry.
Mary, you've gone through a hideous time. But now you must remember your son. He needs you. Very much.
I know. The truth is, I don't think I'm going to be a very good mother.
Why not?
Because somehow, with Matthew's death, all the softness that he found in me seems to have dried up and drained away. Maybe it was only ever there in his imagination.
You, my dear, there's more than one type of good mother. The fact is, you have a straightforward choice before you. You must choose either death or life.
And you think I should choose life?
Boy, the writing in this show is just so great.
Oh. You know, it's interesting, just hearing it rather than seeing it, you can really hear how beautifully written it is, and you can hear how good Maggie is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting because she usually just does the kind of one-liners, and this is real acting. This is really Maggie the actress rather than Maggie the comedian, and just the way she paces it when she says, the difference is, I love you.
Yes.
It takes her a long time to say it because that's not something that would have come easily to her, a woman of that time and age. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And interesting, I hadn't realized this until I read this, but this is her first television series.
His first television series. She's done television before. She did one of my favorite things, which we aired on Masterpiece years ago, probably 20 years ago. It was Alan Bennett, the British writer Alan Bennett, wrote monologues for television, a series of six of them. They were called Talking Heads. And the idea was that a good actor or actress would do each of them. He kind of wrote them for specific actors. And she did one called Bed Among the Lentils.
Hmm.
She played a vicar's wife and told a story. It was about 40 minutes long, and it, if you can find it on YouTube or Netflix or anywhere, you should, to see Maggie just acting her socks off.
Mm-hmm.
But she's never done a returning series.
Yeah. Now, as we know, season 4 has already aired in Britain. So so here are the two questions you get all the time. Why do we have to wait until January?
Yeah.
And how do you keep the storyline secret?
Well, it has aired in England except for the last episode, which will air on Christmas Day again. Well, by the time, yes, the whole thing will have aired by the time this your radio interview goes out. The reason why is that it's a little complicated, but the reason why is that in the UK, they aired in September, and it is a race to the finish line to get it out, to get it on the air. The actors are all there doing publicity. If we were to air it here around the same time, it would air in the teeth of the premiere season for all the network shows where they put all their new stuff up and they publicize it, and the viewing figures for public television are lower just in general in the fall than in January because people are watching, testing other things. Do I like this? Do I like that? The actors would not be able to come over and help us do publicity. We would run into some pledge breaks, the things that public television puts up in December. January and February is the sweet spot for a show on public television. The households watching television are very high. People are indoors. And the ratings have said to us that it works.
Yeah.
The ratings go up 67% between series two and series three. As much as people are eager for it, maybe the anticipation is helping build audience.
Why not have the air in Britain in January? Does it, is the audience
they don't have the same issue with premieres the way we do. Their whole broadcast schedule is different. Now, the secrecy thing of spoilers, piracy, all that, there's a lot of talk about it, but once again, it's very hard to measure. It's very hard to prove that the ratings would be higher and people would be happier if we aired it closer to the broadcast time. A lot of people really, really, really don't know about the plot points. There were millions of people who had no idea what would happen to Sybil or to Matthew in the last episode. Either they just weren't reading the places where it was written, or they, you know, spoiler alert, really did avert. So we, and we had the piracy thing of people illegally downloading has not really affected the ratings. I expect someday things will come together more. I don't know how or when. I don't even know if it will be in Downton's lifetime, but it is true the world is shrinking, and certainly with communications being as fast as they are, it's something we pay attention to. It's not that we're just burying our head in the sand. There are good reasons to keep it where it is, but we keep evaluating it all the time.
You know, you bring up a good point of people not wanting to know, because last year we did an interview before Downton Abbey season last year, and I had accidentally come across the fact that Matthew was going to die in a crash. And I was like, oh, no, I didn't want to know that. And when I said to a couple of people, I know the big, not that I was going to tell them, I said, yeah, I came across this and now I know what's going to happen. Everyone I said that to said, don't tell me.
Don't
I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
I know. They
and I didn't want to ruin it for them.
I know. Well, this is another interesting thing about it. People are tending to want to watch it one episode at a time, you know, when you can. I think the DVDs are released sometime in February before the end of the series. So it is possible for you to get the whole show before it has finished airing. But people are choosing not to. They're choosing to watch it in the old-fashioned way of once a week. A lot of people are choosing. I should say, though, that younger audiences, you know, including my own daughter, love to binge view it and just get together and watch two or three of them, you know, maybe a few weeks in. So it has that appeal both to our older audience and the newer, younger audience, which is terrific, and I think it's exactly where public television, at least, should be, which is, you know, to appeal to people who like to wait and watch it in a regular way, maybe even with a group of people in the old-fashioned way that people used to watch Masterpiece Theater, as it was called. Families would get together Sunday night at 9. And now, if it's not families, there are groups of people who are getting together to watch it Sunday nights at 9, sometimes in costume. Or you can watch it on your computer in your bedroom for two or three hours. So we have sort of hit the jackpot there.
Yeah. Now, as far as keeping that storyline secret, how far in advance do the actors know what will happen in any given season?
They know when they have a read-through, which is the only time the whole cast is together, and they get together in a town hall in Ealing in London. They sit around a huge table in a big old drafty room. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen each other for months. You know, coffee, mm-hmm. something to eat, sit down, and then they read through in 2 days the first 5 episodes. So they have all received them ahead of time. And they read them. Then they don't know what will happen in the remaining episodes because Julian is still writing them. So they then get them in the mail, you know, or get delivered by courier to their house as soon as he finishes one and it's all vetted and okay. Then they get that. So then they say they rip open the package and race through to see what happens to everybody or to their character. And then the next one comes and then the next one. So they don't know until, you know, weeks before they shoot the episode.
We are talking with Rebecca Eaton, Masterpiece executive producer. We're talking about the upcoming season 4 of Downton Abbey. We'll talk more after a quick break.